Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, episode 55, to be exact. My name is Matt Baum. I will be your host all by myself because nobody wants to hear what Joe Patrick has to say anymore. It's sad.
I'm sitting right here.
I didn't know you were there. I apologize. I'd like to introduce to you my main man, Mr. Joe Patrick. Before we can move on, I need you. Actually, let's not do that yet. My main man, Joe Patrick, who every week asks the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. This typically goes up on Sunday, and you have until the following Thursday to answer. You can answer via MP3. You can call our Google hotline, 402-819-4894, and leave us a message. But both have to be under 3 minutes, and you can only have one answer. There are no rules, but those are the only rules.
It sounds like a lot of rules.
Well, you know. Joe Patrick, before we move on, why don't you tell the listeners what we asked them this week?
I don't know. This was a long time ago.
We
took a week off.
We did take a week off.
This week's question, I believe, came from Brian DuPont.
I think that's true.
Comic book napkin artist extraordinaire.
That's true.
He wants to know, what are our favorite all-time knockdown, drag-out comic book fights?
I love it. I totally love this.
It's a great question.
Let's get right to it because we got a bunch of them this week. We're going to start off with our very own Randy Andrews. I got a feeling I know how this one starts.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. It's Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. This week you asked, what is your favorite knockdown, drag-out superhero fight? Well, guys, this takes me back to when Superman number 75 came out, and my dad bought the issue when he was cleaning windows at a grocery store. He brought it home, and I read the issue 3 times. Epic. Superman vs. Doomsday. It holds a special memory in my mind because my dad, who isn't into comics, bought it because I was. He still has it to this day. Well, that's my answer, guys. Hope you like it. I posted my favorite 10 on the forums, so check that out. Also, check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com, and this week, it's Foul Play. See you later, guys. Bye for now.
I feel like Superman versus Doomsday, probably going to be a pretty popular one.
That is a good answer.
It's a solid answer.
Yeah, it's definitely a good answer.
Solid answer.
I have a similar memory. Like, my uncle bought me and my cousin all of the Death of Superman and related issues.
Okay. I remember picking that one up. I was not reading Superman at the time. And it was a great big knockdown, drag-out fight. I'm not crazy about the whole story, where it went, whatever, but can't take anything away from that fight scene where Superman gets killed.
Yeah, at the time, I loved it.
It was pretty badass.
All in. Thanks, as always, Randy. Let's move on to our next caller, who Google thinks is a case of sex on the Twitter.
Good old Google transcripts. They are not getting any better.
So in honor of Ted McKeever's The Superannuated Man, which was my favorite comic of last week, me being Chase of Sex on the Twitter.
It's a clever way to get there.
I had to say my favorite superhero battle, which is from Ted McKeever's previous miniseries, Mondo. Yes, Mondo. A Mondo weird-ass, incredible, fantastic, wonderful comic book. A completely, thoroughly, completely goddamn unique creator who exists in his own distinctive brain space. I'll explain all those blacks. Oh, God, those blacks don't use blacks on his pages. The McKeever. So, in Mondo, there's a battle between a giant cock. That's not a giant cock. It's a giant cock, okay? Like a rooster, okay? A cock. Like cock-a-doodle-doodle cock. Fighting against a giant mutated dude in the streets of Santa Monica, and it's incredible.
I think we should just bleep all of that.
It's McKeever. What do you want?
Every time we review a Ted McKeever comic, one of us says, somebody loves this.
Yeah. That somebody is case of sex on the Twitter.
There you go. Jason Sachs is your Ted McKeever fan. I personally think Ted McKeever is a genius. I can't hang with everything he does. I think he's very, very talented. I thought Mondo was one of the weirdest goddamn things I've ever read.
And I actually liked Mondo.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah.
And I know that fight scene was a great fight scene. Totally bizarre.
Ted McKeever, I love his art. I love it.
Man, he's a wackadoo dude.
Blacks on blacks on blacks.
That sounds like a gay porn I watched once. Moving right along.
Hey, Twitter nerd, it's Matt McNabb. Weirdly enough, this question brought back memories of when I used to work in a recording studio. Once, me and some friends of mine decided to record voiceover parts to my all-time favorite comic book fight scene. The Killing Joke is hands down my favorite book by Alan Moore. Even though I've read it a million times, the ending still blows me away. The fighting is all well choreographed, and the dialogue is near perfect. I even find myself telling other people the joke that the Joker tells at the end. Here's a small little tidbit of the recording we did.
Well, what are you waiting for? I shot a defenseless girl. I terrorized an old man. Why don't you kick the hell out of me and get a standing ovation from the public gallery?
Because I'm doing this one by the book. And because I don't want to.
Matt McNabb comes kicking out of the nerd closet for all of you. That was kick ass. I demand you send me the entire thing. I want to hear this. And that is a fantastic fight scene.
Was that the end of the call?
Yeah, that was it. It just cut off. Yeah, just ended. But I demand we get the full recording of Matt McNabb.
Seconded.
Yeah. Oh, man, that sounds great. Can't wait. It's a new one. It's a new guy. Get excited. Super Friends?
Greetings, two-headed nerds. This is your number one true believer, Greg Litchfield. My first and favorite Clash of the Titans, as Stan Lee wrote in Fantastic Four number 112, was between the ever-loving Blue-Eyed Thing and the Incredible Hulk.
Ooh.
This issue of Fantastic Four was published in the swinging summer of 1971 and was only the second issue of Fantastic Four that I ever bought. This brutal battle blew my then 13-year-old mind. The first splash page starts with a text caption from Stan stating, "As the rampaging Thing battles the police in Central Park, the hate-maddened Hulk attacks him, and that's all we need to know." The art was penciled by Big John Buscema and inked by scintillating Joe Sinnott, and began with the Thing clobbering the Hulk with a tree, ba-koom, and then throwing a statue of General Forbush at the Hulk, who squeezes it between his big green paws, turning it to dust. My favorite part of this issue is where the Hulk has the Thing in a terrible chokehold. Clearly outclassed in pure strength, old Benjamin Gimm struggles and grabs the Hulk's leg, lifting him off the ground and tossing him his older shoulder, breaking the green glass grip. The fight ends on a downer as the Thing is distracted by Alicia Masters and the Hulk twists Ben's head, leading all to believe that our ever-loving Blue-Eyed Thing was no more. You can bet I bought Fantastic Four number 113 and hundreds of issues after that, but that first battle that I ever read between the Thing and the Hulk will always be my Fantastic Foremost. This is Greg Litchfield saying, "Nuff said!"
God damn it. Welcome aboard, Greg Litchfield. And if you don't call every week doing your Stan Lee impersonation, you're dead to me. All right? That was awesome.
Greg Litchfield, longtime listener, used to respond to the question of the week when we posted it on Facebook.
Yep.
This is his first call in, MP3 rather. Welcome to the MP3 crew.
That was totally rad.
It was rad. I'm not making fun of you, Greg. I loved it. But you reminded me of this sketch on this show on G4 called X-Play, which was a video game.
Oh, yeah, show. Yeah.
And they had this skit called,
I know where you're going,
Roger the Stan Lee Experience. And it was a Stan Lee impersonator. And so he was doing stand-up comedy. He's like, "So there I was, having sex with Jack Kirby's wife." And that's how I came up with the idea for the moment. I love it.
That was fantastic. Welcome aboard, Greg.
Greg Litchfield, the Stan Lee Experience.
Hello to a nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Great question this week. I might have to check out those forums. It sounds like there's some smart nerds over there. And I stress might. Not best knockdown, drag out fight. My initial just reaction was Superman Doomsday because, you know, aftermath aside, it was a fantastic fight. It was Superman at his Supermanius. But immediately when I thought of that one, I was quickly reminded of this one. It kind of was shadowed in issue number 7 of the series, and a supporting cast member character decided to kill all the big heroes of this universe. And then I had a lot of questions at the end of it, along with probably most of the readers, but they really got answered with issue number 11.
Spoilers.
And 12. I'm talking about Invincible. Nolan Grayson.
Good old Nolan
Mark
Ryan.
Mark Grayson's dad, Omni-Man in Invincible. Omni-Man approached Invincible and told him that he had killed the Guardians and that he and his son, Mark, are to rule the Earth for the Viltrumite Empire. That was his agenda from the get-go, and now it was time. Mark is from Earth, and he wasn't having it, and a fight ensued. And this was brought to us by Robert Kirkman, Ryan Ottley. He joined the series on issue number 8, so 7 was Corey Walker. But issues number 11 and 12 were penciled by that bad boy, Ryan Ottley, in beautiful colors by Bill Crabtree. I think Bill Crabtree called printers around and said, hey, make sure you guys stock up on red because you're going to run out. The emotion that Kirkman brought with his writing, the emotion that was shown by, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about the fight just now, but the emotion that Ryan Ottley was able to put down on the page, the blood, sweat, and tears, like, were on the page. And I had, you know, sweat and tears on my comic book pages. That's why I'll never get rid of those issues. But, you know, it was a gut reaction. I wanted to separate the two from fighting. It was a brutal fight for, I don't know how many issues we saw Mark living up to his namesake of being invincible until he met his father. It was bloody. It was gruesome. But most of all, it was just, I got an emotional reaction from that fight. Like I said, I wanted to pull the two apart and just tell them to stop fighting. I didn't understand what was like. I was so lost, but entertained at the same time, heartbroken, but happy kind of thing. And absolutely loved it. It was just the emotion and the fight and the just, you know, Mark at the end being lost without his father and his father just leaving. And it just was so, it's such a good fight, a father and son fight. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. That wins it out. Great question, guys. Keep them coming. I'll keep the answers coming, whether they be controversial or not. Peace.
We love that you're controversial with your answers.
Invest in an egg timer, Sean.
That one ran a little long. We have to edit it for content.
JK, it was awesome.
It was totally awesome and fantastic fight scene. And he's right. They're like, father and son fight scene.
Yeah.
Really rough. Disturbing, you know?
It was like, rough. Yeah.
Very high stakes, too. Like, say what you will about Superman versus Doomsday. That was good guy versus bad guy. This is son versus father, you know? Pretty high stakes stuff.
Yep. And that, you know, that's the kind of the moment where Invincible turns from, like, kind of standard teen hero book to revealing, you know, the hidden depth. And that's where, at least for me, I really started to latch on and pay attention to that book.
Oh, man. It was really solid. Sean, very brave of you not to answer an X-Men answer. Branching out, buddy. I'm proud of you.
There you go.
That's good.
Hey, nerds. Matt from Chicagoland. Maharjan on the forums. MP3-ing in. My answer to the question of the week. Best brawls. I'm going to have to go with a classic one from my youth. Superman versus Doomsday. As seen in the pages of 1993's Superman 75, featuring story and art by Dan Jurgens and Brett Breeding. At this point in the story, Doomsday had already torn through the 90s Justice League and was facing down the Man of Steel in the streets of Metropolis. I was a young man of 11 when the story first came out, and it had all the right notes for me then. Superman was fighting a dude with bone knives on his limbs. Bone knives. What 11-year-old wouldn't love that? Every page was the spectacular splash page. Superman was letting loose like I'd never seen him before. We had quite a few iconic images from that fight, the windows of the Daily Planet shattering from the force of the blows being thrown, and then that last few with Superman and Lois's arms, and the one with his cape hanging from the debris, all classics. The story might not hold up very well over the past 20 years, but the nostalgia remains. This is still one of those fights that sticks with me, and I get giddy thinking about it. Two powerhouses just laying into each other with everything. On the more recent discussion of Superman killing, I think this is a prime example of Supes doing what he has to do to keep people safe. That last blow, hands cupped, bringing them down on Doomsday's head like that, that was a killing blow. Thanks for the question. I look forward to hearing everyone else's answers. Peace.
Another vote for Superman Doomsday, which we knew was going to be popular. The only thing that bums me out about your call, Matthew, is everybody that calls us younger than me. So
that's because Gregory Litchfield's not younger than you.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We don't know that.
He old.
Is he? Yeah, he must be. To be able to fake a Jewish accent like that.
<You know? laughs> He's, I believe he came up with a nickname for himself back when we were doing this all on Facebook. Like, he's the official THN old timer.
Oh, that's right. He was our old, yeah, something like that. I can't remember.
Correct me on that, Greg, but I recall that being,
look that up.
Being true.
But Matthew Mahar, good answer. Thank you for calling. Was that first time?
No, I think he's done it before.
Yeah, has he been here before?
Yeah, I think so.
I definitely recognize Maharjan from...
From the forums,
From the forums. Does good work there. And we appreciate
it. He does.
It.
He does do good work there.
And we appreciate it.
Superman is not a killer. Sorry.
No, it's not what he does. Unless you're watching him in the movies.
That's right.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Tony Doug Wright, a.k.a. the TV Dubs, THN Love Slave, and head honcho over at Champion City Comics. Calling in for the question of the week.
Get a promotion.
And Wooly Toots has just been giving us some great questions. And you are asking the THN faithful followers what's their favorite battle of all time. And originally my answer is going to be Hulk number 300. That's the one where Hulk goes on an epic rampage and pretty much bitch slaps the entire Marvel Universe. But I had to change of mind at the last minute. And I'm going to go with G.I. Joe, and I think it's number 34. Help me out here, bum. I know you're down with G.I. Joe. That's the one where Ace and Wild Weasel, or is it? Yeah, Ace and Wild Weasel have the epic battle.
Look, buddy. Like, I like some G.I. Joe, but I'm not this
cool
deep.
Comic written by a great comic book writer, Mr. Larry Hama.
Wild Weasel. He pilots the Cobra Rattler.
That's true. G.I. Joe. The cartoon back in the day, and you read the comic back in the day, you knew the cartoon was super lame and the comic was absolutely awesome. It was more gritty,
totally. The
more
cartoon
violent.
Is great.
Okay,
and
just
that
relax.
Comic, I just remember it was a great battle, and at the last minute, the two were about to just destroy each other, but both ran out of ammunition, saluted each other, and flew away.
I totally remember
battle,
this fight.
Great comic book. Great questions, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I totally remember that fight, and it was completely awesome.
So it was like a dog fight.
So this was a chance for Larry Hama to take two characters you might not... Like, we always saw Duke running around doing cool stuff, or Snake Eyes doing stuff. We got to see two characters we don't normally see doing that, and they came to a stalemate and just kind of went, respect the hell out of this guy, you know? And then they left, and it was this, like, perfect samurai moment, you know? It was just great. Totally remember
that's
that fight.
Cool.
That's an awesome answer.
I love the G.I. Joe comic.
Oh, yeah, man.
Love it.
And he's right. There was nothing wrong with the cartoon, but the cartoon was written for kids, and it was adorable. The comic back at that time was hyper serious, man. Mm-hmm. Hyper serious stuff. Loved Larry Hama's G.I. Joe. Ooh, goosebumps just thinking about that.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Brian DuPont with my answer to the question of the week. First off, thanks for picking my question. I was really doing some research on superhero battles and what makes a great superhero battle, and I was doing this just so I can figure out how to fit one into my own comic book. So I'm interested to see what kind of answers everyone has. I could probably use some of those elements and put it into my own book, even though I pretty much got my fight scene kind of figured out. But that's all right.
You're welcome.
My answer comes from the Age of Apocalypse back in the 90s. And this is from Astonishing X-Men number 4, featuring Blink versus Holocaust. And the issue opens up with Blink calling out the villain Holocaust, and they start getting into the battle right away. And at this point, we haven't seen Blink do anything spectacular in a one-to-one fight. And in this battle, even though it's a quick battle, she has the upper hand all the way through. And there's one moment when Holocaust actually grabs her right from out of a teleport, and he throws her towards a brick wall. And just confidently, she makes another teleport, comes up right behind Holocaust, and uses the momentum and kicks him in the back. But the best part of this is they're in a face-to-face. Holocaust has his gun right under her chin. She has one of her Blink dagger things right up to his face. And he mocks her, and he says, "Do you really think you can beat Horseman of the Apocalypse?" And right after that, he's blinks right above a vat of acid or jello or something, and he falls in.
Yeah, I think it was jello.
And
I think it was
dies or
acidic
disappears
jello.
And Blink, with a close-up to Blink's face, she says, "My name is Blink. Who do you think is faster?" And I, at that point, I thought, this is my favorite character. That fight scene just really sold it to me. She's a really neat character, and that was a great battle. So that's my answer to the question of the week. Thanks again, guys, and I hope you get some great answers out of this. All right? See ya.
Good answer, DuPont. I only wish you would have said, "My name is Blink, and you stink." You know, like, bam, you know, like,
face surfs up. Enjoy your jello. Or there's always room for jello.
There you go. I remember that fight scene too. It was very, very cool. And that's when, like, we decided that Blink was going to be a really cool part of the X-Men, and then we promptly did not see her for 10 more years.
Yeah, that's because they they made the mistake of killing the quote-unquote real Blink
right.
in her first appearance
yeah.
in the Marvel Universe.
And she showed up again in the pages of, not Mutant X, but...
Exiles.
Exiles, that's yeah. right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Which was awesome.
I love Exiles.
Everybody read Exiles. It was great.
For the first 50 issues.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
You see the name Chuck Austin? Bail out.
Yep. Go ahead and stop when Judd Winnick left.
Hi guys, it's Andrea, at Andrea Shock on Twitter and one half of Comics Therapy. So, I don't really like violence. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Oh my god,
but
Shock.
I do get off on cerebral battles to the death, so this week the obvious answer for me is Loki. I'll wait while you groan, Matthew. Just let me explain. Going back to Journey into Mystery, we have a character, a man, or a god in this case, right, who's so conflicted about who he was and who he could be that he's willing to fight himself. He's willing to kill a part of himself to ensure his survival. Now, maybe it's because I've been teaching an intro to playwriting class for the past 2 weeks, but I'm all hopped up on internal conflict. Man versus himself is inherently more interesting to me because how do you know who wins? It's the kind of battle that can never really be resolved. And while knockdown, drag out fights where half the city is destroyed are fine, in this case, the implication and the heartbreak just has so much more impact. So there you go. Have a great week, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I get it. Loki's dreamy. I know. You love him. I'm more of a man versus shark kind of guy.
Yeah,
you
but
know, like, there's a clear winner, the man or the shark. You know, and we know where the universe, you know, it should be after that.
Journey into Mystery, though, was Kid Loki.
Yes, it was Kid Loki.
He wasn't dreamy.
Sure he was. He was cute or whatever, you know. I mean, he was still super intelligent and he was cute and he was well written and it was a badass issue and she's right and that's a clever answer. I'll give her that. It was a good story.
Knockdown, drag out, brawl.
It was not exactly a knockdown, drag out, brawl. No.
It's all right.
But it was Kieran Gillen kicking ass again.
That's, yes, you are right.
Yep. And every answer counts.
An epic battle.
There you go. An epic battle with himself.
Sometimes I catch Matt doing epic battle with himself.
You know,
when he doesn't think I'm here.
Sometimes I have to. I get a little out of line and someone's got to smack me around.
Hey guys, it's Ryan calling in with my answer of the week about favorite knockdown, drag out superhero fight. I'm going to go to the little known Uncanny X-Men issue 183, Colossus versus Juggernaut.
Ooh.
This was right when I got into comics. And I remember just loving this issue. It was post-Secret Wars. Colossus dumped Kitty Pryde because he'd fallen in love with some gal in Secret Wars who died. And Wolverine was going to take Colossus out for a beer and just probably kick the hell out of him. As it turned out, they went to the same bar where the Juggernaut was having a beer. Colossus spills a beer on Juggernaut, and the fight ensues. They wreck the bar. They beat the crap out of each other. It wasn't a big, obviously not a big storyline. Didn't have any huge ramifications on anything. It was just one of those street-level, down-to-earth, good old-fashioned bar fights. I was hooked from there on out. So, there it is. That's my favorite. Love only one of you. up to you two to figure out who it might be.
Hey, oh. Oh, I love love contests. Great answer. Totally great answer. So many good X-Men juggernaut fights out there, too. That one was a really fun, just like little side issue. Nothing major going on. It was like the end of some storyline, I think, and it was just a little one-shot deal.
Yeah,
like,
it's just a one-off.
Why don't we just have Colossus fight the juggernaut in a bar? Cool.
I love it.
I'll come back for that every month. That's a great answer.
Hey, nerds. One Point Harvey here, calling in my answer to the question of the week. And this week, I'm going with Spider-Man versus Wolverine. Now, I know I've used the answer before. I think it was for best one-shot or something like that. And I don't think I did a good enough job explaining what exactly takes place in this book that I love so much. One, no dog in this fight for me. I'm not a Spidey fan. I'm not a Wolvie fan. So, bam. It doesn't matter who wins, as long as we get a good brawl. And in this book, we do. If you want to know what leads up to the fight, you can read it yourself. But basically, let's just say that there is a friend of Wolverine's, a girl spy, who wants to die. Wolverine wants to be the one to kill her, and he can't do it. He's a pussy. Spidey just shows up in the nick of time to actually kind of web him and pull away his claws after he misses the first time. And they get into it. Spidey and Wolverine, blow for blow. It's in a graveyard in Germany. It's awesome. They are beating the shit out of each other. There's one point where Spidey has his hands around Wolvie's neck, and he's like, go ahead, do it, I dare you, I'd try it. He's like, for me, all I gotta do is snick and you're dead. And so anyway, some baddies show up, good guys, bad guys, they don't know. They split up. Spidey's exhausted. He's creeping away. Spider senses start screaming. He turns around just with all his last bit of energy. He says, quote, I give it to Wolverine. Boom. No. 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 That's right.
It's very emotional.
He ends up hitting the chick that he's trying, that he stops Wolverine from killing, and ends up killing her with one brutal punch. And they just keep replaying the scene over, and as Peter's packing up his shit, talking to Wolverine, as they close up, they just keep replaying this panel over and over and over, and it's great. It's just Parker being like a dumbass that he is. So that's my answer to this week's question. Hope you guys like it. See you next time. Harvey out.
The always philosophical Harvey Locust. Was that Chris Claremont, Spider-Man Wolverine?
No, Jim Owlsley, who is Christopher Priest. Jim Owlsley.
This was the 80s crossover that I'm thinking of. Spider-Man Wolverine.
Spider-Man versus Wolverine, one shot.
What year was that?
1987.
No.
The writer's listed as Jim Owlsley. Jim Owlsley is Christopher Priest.
I did not know that.
We've talked about this.
That is amazing. No, I mean, I knew that that was his pseudonym. I did not know that he wrote that.
The artist is Mark Bright, which means that this issue is created by the creative team of Quantum and Woody.
Are you kidding me? This is the one with Spider-Man jumping and Wolverine swimming.
Yeah, and they're in the graveyard.
I did not know that. I could have sworn that was like Claremont. Wow. That was a great issue, though. It was really good.
It is. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Harv, we always like your answers, buddy.
Waxing poetic. Harvey Locust.
Well, One Point Harvey.
One Point Harvey. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
I think it's because I gave him... I don't remember exactly, but it was like, you get 1 point for this and then a million negative points for this.
Gotcha.
Questions and answers.
Favorite answers. Mine has to go to DuPont. I love that G.I. Joe answer.
Favorite
man.
Answer.
I love that G.I. Joe answer.
No, that was...
Oh, that wasn't DuPont.
It was Tony Doug Wright.
You're right. Mine goes to TDW for digging deep and coming up with a kick-ass G.I. Joe answer. I love that. Most creative.
Yeah. That was a great answer for sure. I'm going to tell you, my favorite answer is based purely on the presentation It is Greg Litchfield.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. That was just bad.
And it's also a little off the beaten path, you know. It was an older issue. Yeah, it was just a fun response and a fun recording and an enthusiastic description. I'm giving my favorite call of the week to Greg Litchfield, the THN old timer.
Fair enough. That was great. It was great. And like I said, I want Stanley to call us every week or you are dead to me, buddy. All right. You've got a new full-time job.
No pressure.
That we are not going to pay you a cent for.
No
Joe Patrick.
No pressure.
You want to go first or should I?
You go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead. I thought about a bunch of these.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought about a bunch of these. And Dark Knight Returns, of course, came to mind. Batman fights the gang leader in the mud pit and breaks his shoulders and arms and stuff. Oh, man, what a great fight. And Frank Miller was really, really good at that. The original Chris Claremont Wolverine mini, like the first time we really saw Wolverine fighting 200,000 ninjas, you know, just like full of arrows stabbed with swords and shit. Steve Skros did it again in a story called Blood Debt that I absolutely loved, which was just amazingly drawn. And again, you just see Wolverine ripped to pieces, fighting thousands of hand ninjas. And that's always my favorite Wolverine battles. I love those. But my favorite, I'm going to give this one to Christopher Priest as well. It's a Black Panther storyline called Guerrilla Warfare. It was Black Panther versus the Man-Ape. And the Man-Ape is a stupid, stupid villain. He's a big black dude that wears an ape, a white ape costume, basically. Yeah. And he is...
M'Batu.
Yes. He's like a rival warlord who rose to power in a very vicious, you know, manner, hates the Black Panther, hates Wakanda, what it stands for, and was leading like terrorist groups against small attacks on Wakanda to try and get the Black Panther to face him to show everyone he's a weakling. And so it was like, I believe this is a 3 to 4 issue storyline.
It was 4-part. It was a crossover. No, I'm thinking of something else.
It wasn't a crossover.
It wasn't the crossover with Deadpool.
No.
That was something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was probably
it was like a four-part story. Yeah. But we saw the Black Panther fight the Man-Ape 3 times. And like the first one, the Black Panther kind of whooped up on him. The second one, the Man-Ape kicked his ass, like totally took him apart. And it was brutal. There was nothing flashy about it. This was like professional wrestling, man. They were power bombing each other and stuff. It was just ridiculous. The third fight, and I own the art for this. It is on the wall behind me.
I'm looking at it.
Jim Calafiore drew it. And it is just an amazing issue where they square off. And the Black Panther tells him, like, this is it. This is the last time I'm fighting you. And the Man-Ape's like, oh, yeah, this is absolutely it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to tear your head off right now. Show everyone you're a weakling, whatever. And they do this very old school martial arts square off thing where, like, one dude takes his tough guy pose, you know, and focuses and breathes. And the other dude takes his tough guy pose. And they both run at each other. And they, it seems like they just pass each other and nothing happened, you know. And then they're both standing there in the distance. And the camera pans back, and one of them crumples and falls over dead. You know, it was just this perfect scene. And like the Black Panther, it looks like he gets hit. It looks like when he runs by, the Man-Ape takes this like cheap shot on him, and the Black Panther kind of goes flying and lands on his side. And the Man-Ape is standing there looking all tough, and then he just falls over dead. So there was a series of knockdown dragouts that led to this final fight, and it was very much like WWF at the time, where like the buildup to the buildup to the big fight, you know. It was such a great fight scene with like just a ridiculous bad guy that Christopher Priest turned into a genuinely terrifying villain.
Yeah, a credible threat.
And such a great end to the story.
You did
too.
A great job describing that. I am, just for context, we are sitting in the ziggurat. That piece of art is sitting behind Matt on the wall, and he described that in exquisite detail without even looking at it.
Oh, yeah. I remember it so well. It was just such a great final fight scene. It will never leave me.
Speaking of Black Panther, one of my favorite, like, funny kind of fights comes from the first storyline where Mephisto shows up, and he's just sitting in the apartment with Everett K. Ross, like Black Panther's American like liaison.
Yeah.
And they're in this apartment in the projects, just like waiting for Black Panther to come home. and it's very, very awkward. And Black Panther shows up and immediately knocks Mephisto down and tears his heart out.
Yeah.
And then keeps it in a jar of pickle juice in the fridge. It's like, get out. Don't come back. And then later on, his like valet eats it. His like terrifying valet is like, jump.
Oh, I should mention, I believe that was Black Panther 34.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Guerrilla Warfare, huh? Yeah. Because Jim Calafiori also drew that Deadpool crossover.
Yes, he did. Well, he drew a bunch of that series. Yeah. He was off and on there.
Yeah, that's a good answer, man. Black Panther, one of my favorite series of all time.
Oh, man.
I love it. I love it. Well, I had a tough time picking a favorite. I really, really did. And I thought it was going to come down to that scene in Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7 that I have described on the show so many times. The battle between, at first it's Superman and the Anti-Monitor, and right. Then it's Supergirl and the Anti-Monitor. And it's so savage and relentless and beautifully drawn. And it ends in tragedy and blah, 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 and the whole deal. But then I was reminded of a short little scene in Mark Waid and Alex Ross's Kingdom Come.
I know where you're going.
Where Captain Marvel shows up and he is brainwashed. He is taken over by Mr. Mind.
It's like adult Billy Batson.
Yeah, right. Because this is the future. And he is under the control of the villains and he attacks Superman.
Yeah.
And it's just this just devastating.
But Superman knows what's going on. He's like, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah. And
I know you're a good guy.
And Captain Marvel is just smashing him and fighting dirty.
Well, but it starts off like he's not even touching him. He looks at Superman and Superman's like, I know you're not going to do this, Billy. You're a good guy. I'm not going to fight you. I know there's still good inside of you. And Billy looks at him and smiles and goes, Shazam. Quietly. Yeah. And the lightning strikes Superman.
Right. But he like super speeds out of the way and forces it to zap Superman.
And knocks Superman into the dirt. And there's like a crater.
Yeah.
And he's like floating over him and looking down at him again. And he whispers, Shazam. And like, bam.
Right.
And it's,
and it's just, whoa. It's such an epic moment. And then Superman succeeds in waking Billy up. Just like, Billy, they're going to murder us all. They're right. Dropping a nuke. They're going to kill us all. Wake up, wake up. You're the only one. I'm too weak. You've hurt me. I can't help. You have to stop.
Yeah.
And he wakes up enough and he sees the bomb like falling from the sky. And he has this moment of clarity and he flies up into the sky and he yells, Shazam, Shazam, Shazam. Yeah. And calls the lightning down and detonates the nuke above the gulag where all these villains were. And it's too late, and it just leaves Superman kneeling in a crater of ash.
Yeah.
Ashes and bones that used to be his friends and, like, the five people over in the corner that Green Lantern was able to save. And it was just,
it was a great fight scene.
So, and Superman is so pissed that he's going to go to the Capitol building and murder every politician until, like, Wonder Woman and Batman show up and talk him down. Such a great, great battle.
Yeah, that was a fantastic fight scene.
That's got to be probably top of my list.
Oh, yeah. There was another real quick Shazam Superman fight scene that took place in Mark Waid's, I believe it was Tower of Babel.
No, it was Grant Morrison's.
Oh, it was the one where the Dijins were going crazy.
It was like Crisis Times 5 or whatever. The Return of the Justice Society.
Yeah, and like the Dijins were going nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And Superman's not good with magic.
Yeah.
And so he's flying with Captain Marvel and he's like, all right, we're going to go do this. We're going to do this. And this is the plan. And Billy's like, all right, let's do it. And Superman turns to fly away and Billy Batson punches
just
him
on knocks him out.
Yeah. And he's like, sorry, dude, but you're not good with magic and you're just going to get in the way. It's like, I feel like a real asshole right now, but
Yeah, I love that scene.
Oh, it's great.
That was a fun question.
That was a super fun question. We could do this all day.
It's just true. Going to back be honest, like that Kingdom Come thing is probably not my favorite, but it was really hard to just settle on one.
Oh,
I could list great fights
for hours. Yeah. I could list Daredevil fights for hours alone, you know, that I absolutely love. Wolverine fights, I'd need a month, you know? Man, super, super fun times. Love it when you guys call us and give us your answers. Thanks to everybody that called in. First time, long time, MP3s, and just plain old callers. We love you all. We will have a new question up this Sunday. You have until the
following... It will already be up by the time you hear this.
It's true.
The new question is, we want you to cast the Doctor Strange movie.
Yes, we mentioned it on the show already.
Yeah.
You heard
you
it.
You should have all the details.
We want Doctor Strange. We want Manservant Wong. We want Clea. Go.
Living actors.
Yep. Age appropriate.
And in the state they are, at the, in the present day, yes. None of this fantasy cast.
Yeah. None of this fake Christopher Walken circa.
Listen, he's still got it.
King of New York. He'd be great.
As Doctor Strange.
Totally. By the hoary hosts of Hoggoth.
Hoggoth. I'm sorry. That sucked. I'm sorry.
We will see you guys next weekend on the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. Thank you again for making the show what it is. We love you all. This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.